Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. They wanna be down with the
kids. Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. What a morning. Lance is off this morning and Dell is taking his place. RJ is here. We have got so much to talk about. Let's start with the U.S. Open, Dell. Who you got? Who you got this morning? They're teeing it up. They've already teed it up out there in Boston because they're an hour ahead of us here. So who you got? You can't make the bet now because they've already teed it off.
Yeah, I wasn't ever going to make a bet because you mentioned this before, which one of the live golfers that I have in the U.S. Open. I said I would never bet on the U.S. Open because I love golf for the sanctity and the purity of just watching the sport. So I would never bet. I just want to watch the game. The problem with golf today is it's all about money. Why can't we just watch the guys swing the clubs and enjoy it that way?
That's what we should do.
Yeah, you should be one of the main proponents. You're always talking about how great golf is, but you open the show about betting on it.
Now guys get guaranteed money, and all of a sudden we're going to say, then you know what? Okay, so the Rockets, Orlando, Detroit, they don't get paid. You know why? Because they didn't finish, they didn't win, okay? So if you finish on the bottom of the NBA, you don't get paid. That's how golf is. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Let's get guaranteed money, and then and this is America. Well, it's really Saudi Arabia. It's just Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. We're giving out money. So let's stop with all of this. Ooh, they should earn their money, blah, blah, blah. There's no other sport where you earn your money, okay? Do you think who on the Astros isn't really earning their money? Jose Siri. Well, he's getting a nice check, $764,000.
Nice chunk of change.
For what? Okay? If he was on the golf tour, he'd finish last. He doesn't make the cut. He's sleeping in his car.
So are you a proponent of the way Liv does it or the PGA Tour? One? Because you're getting after guys for not earning their money, but then you're saying
– No. Like the other sports, let's play like crap and get paid. Okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're a communist. You're a sports communist.
All this to say that I won't watch 1 minute of that tournament.
Oh, the U.S. Open.
And I actually kind of sighed internally when I realized I was here on the day. Even when you said that before the show, it didn't click to me. And then I realized what I'm in for now that there's actually a major that for you to talk about.
The best.
I was like, oh.
Well, you and Lance, I'm sure he's going to lead off with it.
No, we're not. I already told you what we're leading off with. The Premier League fixtures came out this morning. We're going to go through Everton's schedule and pick win, loss, or draw, much like you would do the Texan schedule. We're doing that tomorrow for Lance. Fulham's up there, too, but we won't do it for them because that's a lot of games to go through. We'll just go through Everton.
How many games do they play?
I think it's like 38.
We're going to go through every game and see whether they win, lose, or tie.
This is an Everton team who barely escaped being relegated this past season. So we're going to go through 38 fixtures, as they call them, and pick where Everton will drop points and maybe steal some points to see if they can avoid a second straight relegation battle. We'll do that.
That's a great radio show.
Have you done your
Texans? Doesn't get any better.
Have you done
that.
The Texans?
Oh, yeah.
Yet? Okay. 15-2?
I had them 15-2. I don't know. I can't. I'm really I was hesitant because I'm not sure where you're going to get two losses on that schedule. But I was being conservative. 15-2 Texans.
Well, then I guess.
Look at this. Look at this.
That's an awful.
Did you see that?
No, I did not.
So yesterday, not yesterday, but the night before, Mike Trout's bat broke in half, and that's the shard that went into the umpire's eye. It got inside of his mask. And holy crap, you want to talk about dangerous. I don't think that they ever planned on you want to keep a baseball out of there, right?
Yes.
I don't think they ever planned on a shard of a bat going inside the mask.
Do any of the umpires, they're not new masks anymore, but do any of the umpires wear the kind of the hockey goalie like mask that some catchers do?
No, they wear these masks pretty much.
They might want to think about that. Yeah.
Rethink that. Yeah. Anyway, here. Yeah, and goalies, you wonder how they can see and as fast as. By the way, did you watch any of the game last night?
No. Hockey was. I'm not interested in Tampa winning, and I'm glad they lost last night. Three in a row. It's okay, enough. They've already won two in a row. Three would make them legendary. I don't know anyone who actually wants Tampa to win.
See, but this happens in hockey, though. You remember the Oilers had won four straight? The Islanders won four straight.
Yeah.
It happens in hockey for whatever reason.
They would be one of those great teams, and I don't know if hockey traditionalists are like, man, we really need to raise Tampa's team to the rafters because, it's Tampa.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Actually, I think they do show up for Tampa hockey.
Oh, games. I know the people in Tampa do, but as far as the greater hockey world,
no,
I don't think they want to turn Tampa into one of those legendary teams.
No. No, but overtime game, it's always playoff hockey. Everybody's, it's the old saying. There's nothing better than playoff hockey.
I would disagree. Really. I like hockey sometimes, and even
it is intense though, and it was a good game last night.
4-3 the final for the Avs. They win it overtime. The Avs, apparently, I've talked to somebody who's really into it. They say the Avs are the most talented team in the league, and certainly Tampa has been the one with the most consistent success over the last, obviously, two seasons and now third season, trying to win the third in a row, which would be insane. But let's go Avs, I guess.
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
We've gone 6 minutes and 16 seconds on the show, and we did not mention an immaculate inning yet. So
I would say we
could get our sports radio license.
Actually, we haven't talked about the Lakers at all. We should be punished for that, missing the Lakers at all.
How about look at RJ in there? Not only does he wear a Kobe jersey every day, or what other Laker jerseys? Crappy Laker jerseys. Do you have? Carlson. Who else do you have?
Jordan Clarkson.
Clarkson.
Why do you have a Clarkson jersey?
Because
I found it at Ross.
Because he's so today he has a Kershaw jersey on.
Can I, since you are a Laker fan, and look, I am a fan of teams outside of the market, but I didn't wear the paraphernalia, I guess, so I didn't have to hear from John as much as I guess you do. What do you think about the Jason Tatum Kobe cosplay that's going on? Are you a fan? You care that Jason Tatum feels like he needs to represent Kobe in every way, shape, or form? Like, he actually wore like a practice uniform that matched what Kobe wore for his workout, the Celtics, all those years ago. That's how deep into the Kobe stuff he is. Huh. Well, how do you feel about the Kobe cosplay?
I mean, you saw in Game 7 against Miami, he had that Kobe armband.
Yes.
I think he's trying to channel this inner Kobe thing too much. It's almost turning Kyrie-ish to me. It's like, just be your own guy. I mean, yes, of course.
Like, it's actually turning Kobe-ish. What he did with Michael, with Mike.
Right, but, I mean, everybody now is, the Kobe shoes, Kobe fadeaways and all that stuff. And it was like every once in a while, like Kawhi would do a Kobe-esque fadeaway, and you say, oh, man, that reminds me of Kobe. But now it's like, I think Jason Tatum's, trying to get real deep into this, and it's like starting to get hairy.
Single white female type stuff.
Yeah, but he's...
Except the guy's already deceased, so he won't have to attempt to kill him.
He was going after Vanessa, I could see it.
Well, you went to a darker place than I wanted to.
Why? That's not dark. That's not a dark place.
It's going after the man. Yeah, it's a little dark.
I mean, she's out. She's available.
That would be a little much for Tatum, okay? Now, okay, you want to be Kobe on the court, and now you want to take over his life, too? A little much.
Well, that's what he might be after. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know what he's at. I don't know what he's thinking there. All I know is that she's a very good-looking young lady. That's for sure. Immaculate inning, Del.
Well, one of them had an immaculate inning.
They both had immaculate innings.
And Maton, his third pitch to Duran was clearly outside.
It was just,
it was Eric Gregg outside is what it was.
It was kind of Eric Gregg outside.
I mean, credit to the Astros for getting the favorable call. We know umpires miss calls all the time, but I'll give Garcia a clear immaculate inning because
well,
he got swinging,
Garcia's
strikes,
more,
though. He got the guys to swing, though.
He did. I mean, how many were in the dirt? I think he threw two or three in the dirt. Well, one just was just above, and that, well, he got a good call, too. And then there was a check swing strike, almost a check swing strike that was in the dirt. And you know, hey, big ups, those guys. There's only a, now Wikipedia says there's 108. I thought there were 131. Wikipedia says there's 108 now with Maytons. 108 ever in the history of baseball, immaculate innings. And two came in the same game. That's the first time that ever happened in Major League Baseball. And not only the same game, same team. So that was something. The Astros win. They score six in the first. They go on to crush them. The Rangers. I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt anyway because it was the Rangers.
And I would say you just played the Marlins and they kind of smacked you around. Take any.
The Marlins are a better team than the Rangers.
Sure, but it's not like you played a juggernaut and you had a competitive series. You got beat by a team who's under 500. Dusty even said it a couple days ago. Biggest win of the season. That comeback with Tucker. So that was how at least he was feeling about
how the team was going. Well, because if you lose another game to a really crappy team, how do you feel about yourself?
Not great.
No. And then you came back the next day and you win the series. It's what you do against the Rangers. Losing that first game was extremely – that was the worst game of the season, if you want to know the truth. They went from the worst game of the season up 3-0 in the eighth and losing the game 5-3 to the best win of the season, and now they're starting to roll. This is nice because they got a little day off today. Our team does. White Sox come to town for three games. Then you got the Mets for two games, which is nice. And then you go to the Yankees for four and the Mets for two. So this is going to be a really good stretch. The White Sox are playing better baseball now than they were. Tony La Russa was under fire. When you walk, I think he walked somebody with two strikes on him.
Like 1-2 count, and you walked
one,
the guy.
1-2 guy, yeah.
And the guy came up and ruined
next
them.
Guy came up and, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't a great half inning for Tony La Russa.
They're calling for Tony's head, although he got the vote of confidence, I think, yesterday from White Sox management. You know, they ain't doing nothing. They're the White Sox. They ain't doing nothing. So, but the Astros are still ain't doing it. Although I will say this, man, Machete is raking right now. He has been on fire of late, and he is hitting the ball hard. He's hitting doubles. He's hitting homers. He looks like a different guy. Something happened with his swing over the last few games, over the last three or four games, that he is just a different guy. So you got to give him ups, big ups, because we've been crushing him all year long. It's been the worst position in baseball history, offensively. The worst in baseball history. And finally, it's starting to come around a little bit. Castro still is a disaster at the plate, so there's that. Although you got to give big ups to Machete. He gets a nice day off today, finally feeling good about himself at the plate, and then the White Sox come to town for three. All right, taking a break. When we come back, the Rockets made a big trade, and I say big trade because there's a lot of players involved. Not many good ones, but a lot of them. So 712 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk right now about my man, Scott McGrath, over at McGrath Pest Control. He is spectacular. I love, and listen, if you've got any kind of an issue, we had possums in the backyard back at our Bel Air home, and he came. You know, he caged them up and he took them away. I don't know what he did with them. That's not none of my business. But Scott McGrath is able to do that. He's got a wildlife department now. If you've got any kind of an issues with varmints that are in your area, and he can come and he can take that care of that for you. He's got the mosquito murdering system, which takes cover. But we were last night in a backyard, just beautiful, an unbelievable backyard. But there were all kinds of mosquitoes there. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know what you need? I swear, I said, you need the mosquito murdering system that is going to take care of you so you can sit outside and actually enjoy it. It's so hot. They're all over the place. We don't have any in our backyard, though. None. We never have to worry about getting bit by a mosquito because of the mosquito murdering system. Find out for yourself. And, of course, the quarterly pest control. McGrathPestControl.com. That's McGrathPestControl.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Big ups to John Hinckley.
Don't start a segment with big ups to John Hinckley.
Well, he's out now. He's free.
What?
He tweeted yesterday.
What?
After 41 years, 2 months, and 15 days, freedom at last.
He immediately ran to Twitter?
Yeah, he ran to Twitter.
Huh.
I would, too. Big ups, John Hinckley. For those of you who don't know who John Hinckley is, he's the guy who shot President Reagan.
That's why I keep telling John to say stop.
What? He can't hurt Reagan anymore? Reagan's dead.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he goes and... If immediately he goes out, you see the guy who was in prison for 20 years. The first day he goes and robs a bank, and he's back in prison.
Didn't he just want to go back to prison?
Probably. I mean, what's he going to do now? Right? What's Hinckley going to do now? Who's going to hire him?
Start a podcast?
Who's going to? Maybe.
You don't think people listen to a Hinckley podcast?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. I guess they. Yeah, I guess. So, no more Christian Wood. Christian Wood traded to the Mavericks, and he was traded. It's an interesting trade in that you really got, basically you got four of the Mavericks bottom six guys, literally in their stats. These four were in the bottom six of their stats. They basically didn't play. They were backups and they got 3 minutes a game, 5 minutes a game, maybe. Boban, who's more famous for his commercials now than he is for playing basketball. And he's in The Hustle, too. You saw The Hustle, huh?
I don't really mess with Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, you know?
I don't really care about his movies.
His last one wasn't great, where he was the diamond guy.
That one is polarizing. Some people really like it. Others like, no, nah, not good at all.
This one, though, well, Raheel, he's a basketball critic, so he loved it. He really liked it. So I'm going to check it out. But Boban is in it. Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, and Marquise Chris. Literally.
Former Rocket Marquise Chris?
Yeah.
And Sterling Brown,
right? Sterling Brown. So Sterling Brown played in 9 games, averaged 1.2 points. Boban played in 3 games. Oh, this is in the playoffs. This is the playoffs. Okay, let's go back and look at the regular season. It's not coming up. Yeah, here it is. Okay, these guys were literally. Sterling played in 49 games, averaged 3.3 points. Boban, 23 games, 4.3 points. Marquise Chris, 34 games, 4.5 points. Trey Burke, 42 games, 5.1. They averaged, you know, no minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and 12 minutes.
It's a poo-poo platter to match salary.
Here's the problem, and I got a little insight on this thing. They don't want, you know, these guys are just, they're going to be gone. They're not, maybe one of them hangs out. Maybe you keep somebody as a backup center. Maybe Chris is going to hang around. I doubt Boban is going to hang around. I don't know. This was the best you could get for Christian Wood. Christian Wood has been out there, dangled out there for a while now. And, well, you also got their number one pick, which was...
Yeah, the first rounder.
Their first round pick, the Mavs' first rounder. Now, my initial thought is, why would you need another pick? But the thought is, I think they're trying to move up.
I saw that... The trade won't be completed till after the draft, so the Mavs will be picking for the Rockets. So,
right.
How can they use that as to move up if it's not even their own?
They can still trade it.
trying to figure out how that, how if you don't own it, you're going to
then the Mavericks are just going to be picking for some, whoever else it is. So yeah, that happens all the time. It went from bump to this. The NBA draft is so stupid that they can't do it because they can't trade the pick because they have to make their own pick and then they can trade.
So the Mavs and the Rockets would combine, since it's still kind of the Mavs pick. Their Mavs and Rockets would get in on a 3-team trade for the Rockets to move up.
Yep. So it's the 26th pick. They have the number 3 and the 17th selections already. They also have the 26th pick. The thing about the NBA draft, though, and the 26th pick is it has very little value.
If you are not a good scouting team, you don't know how to evaluate, it doesn't feel like it's worth much. Now, some teams who live in that area can find talent there to help your roster.
Look at the Warriors. The Warriors, Jordan Poole was the 28th pick.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't draft picks, but the Miami Heat had two rotation players who were undrafted. Duncan Robinson was out of the rotation because he can't play defense in the playoffs. But, yeah, if you can scout, you can find players who can become part of your rotation. So having a first-round pick there, particularly if you want to keep it, can be big if you know what you're doing. It just appears that a lot of NBA teams aren't sure aren't capable of evaluating that low in the draft. So I don't know what they'll do if they want to package it because they don't need 3 first-round picks. Great. I mean, it makes it more complicated because they have to get another team involved, and that team will want compensation, I guess, from the Mavs, too. So I don't know how it'll work out. But the big thing is Christian Wood came in at a time where the Rockets were in this transition mode where they thought they still wanted to compete, but even he was acquired after they found out that Russell Westbrook and James Harden wanted out. It's that same offseason. Those guys had already said they wanted out. He was still acquired. And for a time, when James was in camp, people were like, well, maybe if we show James that he has a really good big man, he'll stay. We know that wasn't the case.
No.
And it didn't work out. So he didn't really have a place on this roster because from everything we've heard from the outside, it feels like he's not a great teammate.
He's not a great team. That's the biggest thing is he was basically, I don't want to say untradeable, but look at what you got for him. And everybody, Rafael Stone doesn't know what he's doing. How are you going to get this, that for him? Why didn't you get a good player? Because nobody wants Christian Wood. He's been dangled out there since before last All-Star break. He would have had a year and a half left on his deal at just $14 million. For his skill set, $14 million is a great bargain in the NBA. He needs some veteran leadership, which, you know, Luka maybe is going to be able to, you know, teach him how to be a better pro. But
smoking, drinking, come in and out of shape, Luka.
Well,
I don't know if he smokes or drinks, but he does come in out of shape. The thing in Dallas is there's actually a clear number one. Now, Christian Wood, right or wrong, could probably look at the Rockets roster and goes, we know what the Rockets want to do, but if you're Christian, what are you going? You should be playing through me. I'm the most accomplished, and there's not a lot of accomplishment, but I'm the 20-10 guy. You should be playing through me offensively, and the Rockets know playing through Christian Wood's not going to get them where they want to go. He's a guy, as much as he was lauded for coming out really out of nowhere, he still saw another big contract in his future, and he's not going to look at this Rocket roster and say, I should subjugate my game to them.
That's the other problem with Christian Wood is that he probably considers himself a max dollar guy, and he's not.
No.
And he's not going to get that max dollars. So whoever acquired him is basically, you're just going to get him for a year. If you can convince him that he'd take $18, $20 million a year, could do another 3-year deal with them. He did a $42 million deal when basically nobody in the NBA knew who he was. And it was like, who the hell is Christian Wood? Why is he getting $42 million? Well, you see the skill set. The problem with Christian Wood is the head. He's not a good teammate. I don't want to put a bunch of adjectives on him. All I want to tell you is that he was pretty hard to trade. It was a very difficult, and this is what you got. You got a bunch of nothing. And yet you go, thank goodness, let's go. Because he's not who you want, Jalen Green and KPJ and young Jay Sean,
who the number three pick is.
Whoever that is going to be, that's not a guy that you want as your quote unquote leader or a guy that everybody's going to look to. So you're better off getting nothing for him and getting him out of the locker room.
You remember, I don't know how long ago it was now, but I was listening to a podcast. We played the audio on the show where Ryan Russillo just went in on him talking about how he's not a good teammate and teams and locker rooms are better off when he's out of there.
Yeah.
Teams aren't sad to see Christian Wood go. And that was relatively early on in his Rockets tenure. And apparently it's the same way here. He's a guy that is going to have to learn that, hey, Luka's one, maybe you're two, and you're going to have to improve defensively, because as much as you want to talk about the 20 and 10 is what he'll point to when he's looking for his next contract, the Mavs are going to be a playoff team. He'll get exposed in the playoffs if the defense is bad. One-way guys, particularly guys who don't play defense, get played off the floor. Unless you're efficient enough offensively that it doesn't matter, that right. They have to keep you there. He's a guy who is going to get attacked over and over again. We know Luka will. That's another guy who will. And Luka's not going. They're going to keep Luka on the floor. If Christian Wood could find himself not playing big playoff minutes because he can't stay in front of anybody.
Yeah.
So as much as he wants a big deal, if he's seen as a one-way guy in the playoffs who can't play in rotations, that'll hurt his value too.
Well, the number one thing he's got to do is you got to change his image in the NBA. It's not just media guys talking about him. It's a real thing because he was very difficult to trade. He has got to change that, and maybe being on a winning team will help him.
Yeah,
he was with Detroit. He was here. So maybe being on a winning team will change his attitude and how he goes about it. We'll see. I don't know the guy. I don't care. All I know is that this was very difficult for Rafael Stone. He's probably going to catch it from shows throughout the city. And here's the deal: the only reason he made this trade is because this was the best he could get. Because he didn't turn down something better. He certainly doesn't want to trade with Dallas in the same division.
Just to see him four times a year.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to do that.
You don't want to help them get better.
No. And if you're like, he doesn't know, really? Because he tried to push him on everybody in the NBA, and this is what he got. All right, it's 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about my favorite peeps over at Chastang Ford. I'm telling you, when you're looking for that Ford car or truck, this is the place to go. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, they're the number one commercial vehicle dealer in the city of Houston. How do you do that? How do you do that when you're Chastang Ford? Literally, they've been in business here for over 80 years, and most of the city didn't know about them. You know who knows about them is businesses, and they've known about them for years because they're so good. They get you the car or truck that you want at the price that you wanted at. The service was just second to none. And they're not going to do any add-ons. You know that you're going to get a square deal every single time. That's how you do that. And now in the retail business as well, you know what? You go in there and you're going to get that same deal that these businesses have been taking advantage of for years. So you want to order that vehicle. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They're not going they're going to make sure that you get the deal that you have to have for your price in your price neighborhood. That's what they're going to do every single time at Chastang Ford. Or they got all the pre-owned vehicles on the lot as well. If you're looking for any kind of vehicle, they've got it. So and most of them are certified. So if you're looking for that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle, it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or go to ChastangFord.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Fun. Sports. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dell in for Lance. Lance had some talking issues yesterday. Hopefully he'll get through that. Dell, Doesn't need to bring his A game today because he's with me, but he better bring it tomorrow. That's for sure, because Lance will be in here.
No, I treat this like game six, like the Warriors, possibly. He's like, eh, I mean, if it goes well, it goes well. But you know what? Tomorrow.
That's right. That's,
game seven.
That's game seven.
I mean, I will try as hard as possible. I just...
But
if it gets away from me early, I'm like, hey, you know what? I got tomorrow. Like the Warriors. Like, if they're down 15 in a second, I'm like, okay, man. We'll fight.
That's right. We still got game seven.
We're at home even.
Look at Minka Fitzpatrick, the highest paid defensive back in the game. $18.4 million per year, $36 million guaranteed at signing. Oh, Minka, who was with the Dolphins and said, oh, do I want to play here? No, I want out. I'm going to a good organization like the Steelers. Yeah.
How many playoff games has Minka won since he's been in Pittsburgh?
Do you know that Pittsburgh and New England are tied for most playoff wins ever?
How many have they won in the last three seasons?
That doesn't matter.
It matters for Minka, since we're talking about him.
It does matter for Minka.
And the answer is zero for Minka.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. How many Dolphins playoff wins have there been?
Exactly zero. What's the difference?
That's all I'm saying.
Now he gets to play for Brian Flores because Brian Flores is the linebacker coach, the guy he wanted to get away from.
What about Tyreek Hill saying that Tua is just more accurate than Pat Mahomes?
That's true. I mean, he's not a better quarterback than Pat Mahomes, but he is more accurate than Pat Mahomes.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
How often do you talk about the balls that Tyreek Hill had to wait for because Pat Mahomes is scrambling around and he throws it up and he's waiting for a punt? Pat Mahomes makes the impossible possible. That's why he's such a great quarterback. But if we're just talking about dropping back and throwing the ball in rhythm, that's not hit the strongest part of his game.
No.
It's what he can do because of his physical gifts. Yeah,
how many no-look passes is Tua thrown?
None. I mean, I don't. How many did Pat Mahomes do last year? Maybe one or two. Pat Mahomes is such a unique talent that anyone trying to turn that conversation to Tyreek saying Pat Mahomes is not better than Tua is being disingenuous. He simply said that I'd rather catch the ball in stride more often than not. That's all it really was. He even said in that clip he was discussing how he was being asked about arm strength or whatever. And he said, you know what I'd rather have? The ball that I caught in stride and went 70 yards against the Bills. Like, Pat Mahomes hit him in stride. That's what he wants all the time as opposed to...
Which he also taunted on his way in and should have been called for it. And the Bills should have won the game.
Are you a Bills fan now? What do you care?
Yeah.
Who are you, AJ Hoffman? What do you care if the Bills get taunted?
I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
We had the immaculate inning. We've got the immaculate innings, and we've got sound from it. All right. For those of you who don't know, Luis Garcia and Phil Maton both threw immaculate innings yesterday. Just 108 in baseball. That's what Wikipedia says, but I could have swore it was like 131. But Wikipedia says 108, and those two are included. And that's 9 pitches with 3 strikeouts. That's the best you could possibly do. Dell says, no, hold on a second.
I mean, it wasn't a swinging strike. It was a ball.
It was outside.
I mean,
he got the call from the ump.
He got a favorable call, and that helped the immaculate inning go forward.
Which won't happen anymore once the robotic umpires are in there.
When is that happening?
It could happen as soon as 24.
So will there be robotic umpires claiming racism? And that's why I don't get playoff games like Angel Hernandez. Yeah. Will there be a robotic?
Angel, once again, he had his last lawsuit that it was racism. That's why he wasn't get any playoff games. It was racism. And the judge threw it out.
Well, yeah.
Because it's the dumbest claim ever. When you're as, it's a merit basis. It's like golf. You know what, Angel Hernandez? Although they've had to give him playoff games since then, since he sued them, even though it was thrown out of court, they still have had to give him playoff games. And he's the worst. He's the worst ever. And now he's claiming that it's not only him, but there are more guys that have because they're not white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're not white. They didn't get to.
Is that why they're going to robot umpires?
They're not crew chiefs. He's bitching about crew chiefs.
Is that why they're going to robot umpires to avoid the racism lawsuits?
Maybe. But you know, robots have feelings too. Did you see the guy who got fired from? I forget which company he got fired from, but he said, "Yeah, the robots have feelings, and they had to fire him." So if robots have feelings too, maybe the robots will sue Major League Baseball, that racist organization.
Well, I've been saying it for years. I've seen so many sci-fi movies that when the robots decide, you know what, baseball sucks, and they kill everyone, I'm like, yeah, see, I saw it coming. What are you guys doing? Why would you empower those robots?
Why would you let robots near your game that everybody hates?
You're asking for it.
So here's who you got, Garcia first or Beton? Which one? Oh, it's a compilation? Okay. Here's Garcia and Maton talking about their immaculate innings. Oh, it was the calls. Oh, I thought you had them talking after the game. Never mind. Oh, you have those? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. We don't want to hear the strike. There were some questionable. Garcia threw a couple in the dirt that were checked. They swung. They went after him. So you got to give him credit. Maton's pitch was a bit outside, and he got the call on one of them. But, you know, I'm sure other immaculate innings have had much the same. I mean, Major League umpires.
I'm sure Angel Hernandez was part of a couple of them.
Might have been. Or Eric Gregg. So here is Luis Garcia talking about his immaculate inning.
Immaculate inning. Were you aware of that as was happening, or how did you kind of find out you had done that?
I mean, since I get the second strikeout, I already knew. Like I said last time, when I was throwing the perfect game, like, you know, in the fifth, I said I didn't want to think on that. But this time, when I think on that, like, let's go for it. And I'm glad that it happened, so.
What kind of achievement is that? I see you got the ball up there and everything.
It's great. It's a great achievement. I did it in spring training last year, but this count. So I'm glad for that.
Were you in the dugout when Maton threw his?
Yeah.
And what was that?
I mean,
like?
I wasn't doing anything. I was talking with the guys, and then the guys erupted, and that's what happened. And they said, he got it to him. Let's go.
That's great stuff. It's kind of neat. You don't think about it. It's actually so rare in Major League Baseball, although it's been happening a lot more of late. In the 10s and 20s, I think there have been 43 of the 108 have been in the last dozen years or so. So it's really getting to be more and more because guys just are swinging from their heels more.
Undisciplined. Swinging, yeah. Looking for home runs. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
It is the era of the strikeout, that's for sure. Here's Maton talking about his immaculate inning.
Became aware after the second one. I was starting to get a little anxious because Maldi kept calling fastballs. But ultimately, I just kind of stuck with his game plan in that situation in the game and just went ahead and just kept throwing him.
First time in Major League history that there's been 2-1 game. What is that like to just be a part of something that's never been done before in this sport?
I mean, it's super cool. It's not something like you go out there every day and obviously strive to do. But, I mean, it's obviously you're trying to strike every hitter out you face. But it's, I don't know, still kind of trying to wrap my head around it. But, yeah, super cool experience.
Have you ever thrown one in Little League or high school at any point in your career?
I have no idea. I probably doubt it.
It's rare. It's rare. There's some great, great pitchers. And Phil Maton is now one of the greats of all time.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I guess.
No, I don't care.
I'm trying to wrap my head around why this is important. I get that it's rare, but I'm not sure it's important.
No, it's not important. Not in the grand scheme of things.
Well,
you know,
even the grand scheme
hunger,
of baseball.
Ending a hunger.
World
is more
peace,
important.
Yes. Yeah. Ending the war in Ukraine, I understand.
Those things.
I know you're very worldly.
It's me.
And thinking about everybody else but yourself.
That's what I am.
That is your brand.
That's me. I
understand. But even in baseball terms, is it a big deal? It's rare, but is it a big deal?
No, it's just something. It's just another baseball stat.
In the regular season that people get.
It's just another baseball stat.
Hey, it happened. Great.
Did you happen to see, it's just crazy, speaking of baseball stats, did you happen to see the stat about Vlad Guerrero and his son?
No, I did not.
It's crazy. So, Vlad Guerrero Jr. has 87 home runs and an on-base percentage of .363 in his first 403 Major League Baseball games. His father had 87 home runs and an on-base percentage of 363 in his first 403 Major League Baseball games. Is that not crazy?
It's kind of insane. I don't. It's one of those things where I don't know who you pray to. It's kind of one of those things that maybe confirms that there's a higher power. Like, why did that happen? Like, it almost feels like someone was like, you know what? I'm going to tip the scales in the favor of this happening because I think it's pretty cool. It's crazy.
And only in baseball would you find stats like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on base percentage and, oh, wow, hey, he's got 87 home runs and 400. Wow, he's got the same on base percentage now. Number of strikeouts, number of hits, number average, all those things. But it is crazy that father and son duo have those two stats in common in 400 in some, you know, just random 403 games.
And he had to go 4 for 5 yesterday to get it done.
How about that?
He had a great game yesterday to get that done.
How would Milo? Well, immaculate. And there's a oh.
Would you have known?
Strike 3, 4.
Oh, no, Milo, though. You only need 3.
Maton struck him out again. And up in the booth, here's Julia. Julia.
No, Milo, I'm on the field. It's kind of my job.
Can you come up to the booth?
No, I'd rather not.
He had a little permanent.
Hey, are you besmirching the great
744 on ESPN? Wasn't a big fan. 744.
I remember.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what did you think of mini camps? We'll talk about it on the other side. How in tune
how
were
excited
you?
Am
how
I?
Were you, how excited were you about mini camps? Because it's come and gone right before our eyes.
If you say so.
Yeah. No, I did say so. But you know what's here and going to be here for a long time and for the long haul? Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955. What you need. If you have immigration problems or you know someone, this has happened quite a bit. Carlos Silver is our good friend, and I talk to him all the time, and he says, here's what's happening, is a lot of you are driving to your work sites, and you have some guys who work for you, and you hear this spot, and you tell those guys, hey, you got immigration problems? These guys are taking care of it. They speak Spanish, se habla español, and they are helping you out. They're helping guys out, and they're getting the job done. So if you're looking for immigration help or you know people, you have workers or whatever the case may be that need help, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Not only that, though, whatever it is that you need representation for, these guys have got years and years and years of experience in law. They're helping you with your criminal cases, your civil cases. They're helping you with insurance companies. They're helping you with your accidents, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever you need representation for. And chances are, at some point in your life, you're going to need representation. And not everybody has a lawyer on retainer. You don't need one. You got the Morley Law Firm. Give them a call. Make the call. Morley Law. 713-839-9955 or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, Colin Morikawa's off to the hot start, Dell. What do you think about being 2-under through 5? Russell Henley's 2-under through 3. What about Russell Henley?
What about the fact that I had to be the one to inform you that maybe you should get the TV turned to the Golf Channel so you could watch your favorite sport, allegedly? You didn't even know.
It's not that I didn't know. It's the coverage. The good coverage doesn't start until later today.
See, but this is a problem.
But they are there right now, and we're on the Golf Channel, and Colin Morikawa, we're watching him make a putt right now.
One of the biggest.
Is this the greatest day of your life with the U.S. Open starting today?
It's not even the 4,000th best day of my life. I'm not even close. This is a problem with golf.
You get to sit here with me for 3 hours,
which is obviously not great.
And then you get to looking forward to dreading tomorrow with Lance.
You know, the biggest part of tomorrow is I have to get up again. Like, I got one of those days in me where I'm like, you know, getting up at 5:15, all right, whatever. But 2 days in a row, it's not the life I'm looking for. It's not the life. But the golf channel.
You're the Kyrie Irving.
I'm not Kyrie.
Okay,
Kyrie,
you show up every once
Kyrie
in a while.
Kyrie what can I say? Kyrie volunteered.
You're well rested.
I am well rested. That's why.
You should be well rested.
You know, Kyrie played once a week and put up like 25
and
10.
You're the Will Fuller. Okay.
I don't sit out games on purpose. Will Fuller like had a devastating finger injury apparently. He played like two games for the Dolphins last year and now sitting out there.
What a shock.
Yeah, surprise. I guess he's waiting to see if, you know, some people thought he joined the Dolphins last year because he thought Deshaun was going to be there. What, is he going to be a Brown at some point because he wants to follow Deshaun around? But back to your stupid sport. How is it that in one of their major tournaments – When it starts, the crappy coverage is on. Why don't they treat it like it's a big deal?
What are you talking about? They do.
You
treat
said it was crappy coverage.
Well, the full coverage doesn't start until a little bit later.
Why wouldn't there be?
Well, actually, full coverage is on Peacock right now, and who's got Peacock?
I mean, this TV's like 25 years old.
Let's see.
It's not certainly. We don't have a smart TV here, so we can't watch it on the TV. You'd have to watch it online. I just think golf does a poor job. Of putting their game out there for people. Like
Peacock, let's watch for free. Plans started free. No cover, no credit card required. Here we go. I gotta sign in. Oh, what? No, watch for free. Let's go. Oh, I gotta enter my email address.
You're gonna do that now?
Yeah. So I can watch while I'm doing this show.
That's a good idea. That's good for everybody.
It's awesome for everybody.
While you're doing that, you wanna take Reese's call?
Let's get here. Reese, what's going up?
Hey. Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I always like when you have them filling in for either one of you guys. But I was reading and it said that Mitchell Trubisky is probably going to start for the Steelers. And they said that backing up Josh Allen might have helped him out a lot. I was wondering, did y'all see even Tua, which quarterback might have a breakout?
Your brand.
Hey, John, you got to get Dale out there for next time for the scramble for the tournament.
I know. I try to get him out. I want him to be. I'm playing my team for the next time we play out at Wildcat. But he's jumpy. You know.
Anyway, I'll listen to y'all answer that question now. I guess.
You try to get me out there on your team, is what you said? You don't think you'd have a miserable time having someone on your team who's never played golf before? You don't think that'd be a bad experience for you?
We wouldn't let you hit or anything.
Then why would
we're
I be out there?
We're going to drink.
But I don't drink.
Camaraderie. Me and you hanging out.
I don't want to do that. That's
you
not
could
fun.
Watch me drink.
Watch you drink and play golf?
Yeah.
What a day. You know, maybe that would be my 4,010th best day, watching you play golf and drink. As far as quarterbacks, I don't know if being in Josh Allen's vicinity is going to help Mitch Trubisky. The Steelers, I don't think the Steelers are going to have a very good offense this year. I mean, their offensive line still.
Is Pickett going to be it or is it going to be Trubisky?
Well, it's not even like Kenny Pickett's a 21-year-old quarterback who's young. He played like 5 years of college football. So if he's not ready now, I'm not sure when he'll be ready. We'll see how training camp rolls around. I will give Mitch Trubisky the benefit of the doubt in this regard. Mike Tomlin's teams don't have losing records, so maybe they can squeeze anything and everything out of them. But I think Matt Canada's a coordinator, so I'm not feeling too great about that. Or is he in Chicago? Where's Matt Canada? Mitch Trubisky would not be on my top breakout quarterback list. I mean, the Tua thing, he'll have talent everywhere around him. The offensive line will be better. It won't be completely solidified. We'll find out how good they are in training camp, preseason, but he probably has the best shot of having a better year than some people expect, just considering how much talent the Dolphins have acquired around him. Other than that, since those are the two you mentioned, I'm trying to think of around the league. You think Trevor Lawrence, because he has competent coaching around him, has a better year?
All I hear is that he's going to be better. And I know he's Trevor Lawrence, and he's got the resume, right? And he is... He's the best quarterback in that class. He certainly didn't show that last year, though. He wasn't good.
No,
he wasn't good.
It's like nerds, and I mean like football nerds, people who make their money simply covering football, will say the numbers will say he was better than what the eye test will say. I'm like, well, I'm going to use my eye test, and he didn't look very good last year. But they say the throws he made, his aggressiveness, even when things weren't going his way, they'll point to some of those analytics and go, he was actually better than you think. Well, better than I guess, but from what I could tell, he was pretty bad. And if I'm a Jaguar fan and you believe he's that transcendent talent he was before he got drafted, you got to say, hey, that's Urban Meyer. That was a bad situation. He'll be better under Doug Peterson, which that's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah. Listen, he's got to be better than one. But, right? It's got to be better. Doug Peterson is a good coach. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. I don't know why Doug Peterson was all of a sudden kicked to the curb after just a couple of years after winning a Super Bowl. It's the Gene Chizik thing, and it's just what the hell? How do you go and win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles against Tom Brady and you can't coach?
I think
2 years later.
I think some of that was internal strife. Like, I don't know, there was some back and forth with him and Howie Roseman in that front office. I don't think it was purely a football thing with him and the Eagles. But yeah, at one point, you didn't hear his name being mentioned for interviews around the league, and then it was the Jaguars. Because even leading up to it, it was Byron Leftwich going to get that job, and then he wanted Trent Baalke out. He wanted his own guy in. I think he wanted Adrian Wilson from Arizona. That was a rumor that was going to be the combo. And then Trent Baalke was like, actually, I don't really want to go anywhere. So I maybe that kind of scuttled the Byron Leftwich to Jacksonville thing. And Doug Peterson gets that job, and I don't know if there was a better coach for them to grab.
Yeah,
an offensive guy. No.
He may be successful. Purposeful.
Yeah,
he can't be better. He can't be worse than Urban was. That's for sure. 7:57, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to talk a little U.S. Open when we come back. Scott Sachinac is going to join us. He's a caddy on the tour. He's caddied for some pretty good players, and he is in town. He is Australian. And so he's going to talk funny, and he'll do that next right here with us. Give us some insight into what's going on the tour with Liv, with the U.S. Open, with all of this stuff. Maybe share some insight into some players with us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about Billy over at Aqueduct. Billy is Aqueduct Plumbing. We're going to go have lunch with Billy today, as a matter of fact. I can't wait to see him. Billy is a great guy. I love what Billy does. What Billy does is he gets you your plumbing needs, and he's not going to rip you off. What Billy does is he comes to your house, and he's going to give you that evaluation absolutely free, as opposed to other plumbers that are going to come to your house. They're going to charge you 50, 60, 70 bucks just to show up. And then, I don't know. You never know with plumbers, right? Well, with Billy, you know. I mean, they're going to give you a square deal. And that start again, it starts at the top with the philosophy of the owner. And Billy has just – one of the things that he said, he told us, the first thing that he told us was, I just want to make sure, you know, we're going to do a great job for you, and we're going to do it at a fair price. And that's all you can ask of the plumber. But here's the deal, is you got to have that. When you got to have that guy, you got to have that guy. So go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com, and let them come to your home. Make sure if you need a plumber, you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, Aqueduct Plumbing, thebenchplumbing.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.